Welcome back to part three of our episode, Fighting on Other Fronts. I'm Hannah Stanley, host of On Social Health and Change, brought to you by Adler University. Joining us now is Samantha Schilling, a doctoral candidate in Adler's PsyD program. Samantha is also a Navy veteran and sexual assault survivor. Samantha, thank you so much for joining me. If you can, as much as you're comfortable sharing, if you could share your personal story with me.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me. Adler University is a wonderful program that specifies in military psychology, and I think it's about time because we need to pay attention to the psychology of the military. So my story is I have encountered military sexual trauma while I was in the military.
Take your time.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
Don't worry. This is important stuff.
So I served in the United States Navy as an information systems technician, where I worked with communications from sea to shore. I was stationed in Navstay, Norfolk, Virginia, and while I was there, the USS Cole bombing occurred. When the USS Cole bombing occurred, they had to bring the USS Cole back to Navstay, Norfolk, where I worked. And because so many people were injured and there were so many deaths, the few people that weren't injured had to be restationed somewhere, and a few of them were stationed with me. So I worked with one person who had just dealt with that extremely traumatic event and became comrades. And I mean, in the military, you make friends. Like, everybody is your friend. You become so close where you keep talking to them for the rest of your life, even when you're out of the service. And this one comrade of mine, after only knowing him for a few weeks, tried to rape me. It was a very difficult situation to deal with because I had felt so bad that he had just dealt with the USS Cole bombing. And he really did, like, do that to me when he was a comrade of mine. So it was really difficult. Thank God, though, I'm not like everybody else in this situation, because he did not officially rape me. He did get on top of me and try to do that to me, but I was luckily able to talk him out of it. So I have had sexual assault as an experience, but it wasn't completed. And that's also still sexual assault, but...
Absolutely.
And that's the hard part of all this, because you have to worry about the criticism of the world and how everybody thinks and all that stuff in these different situations. And some people look at it like that, where it's just, it wasn't assault because you weren't raped. Well, it was an attempted rape. So that was...
still psychologically damaging. So
exactly.
Yes. Yes.
And the funny thing about it was I didn't come out. I'm coming out now. I've came out before in other situations, but at that time I didn't come out. The person still served, and I'm still not even willing to tell you who it was. Like, that's how it's hard when they're your fellow comrades, when they're dealing with so much issues themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So
you felt a responsibility, even though there had been an attack.
Yeah.
For his career.
Yeah.
And what he had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But having witnessed the challenge that you have in sharing this story, I would challenge anybody to say that you were not a victim of this. This yeah. is something that you are definitely still dealing with.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to say.
That's all right. You don't need to. Having gone through this, it's probably a topic that you pay a little bit more attention to than some other people.
Yes.
Civilian and service members as well. Tell me how prevalent military sexual trauma is believed to be, because technically, if you didn't tell, you don't count in the numbers.
Right. Exactly.
So as it's believed to be, how prevalent do we know?
Okay, well, sexual assault in the military has always existed, but it's now being more acknowledged than it had been in the past. If we go back to World War II, there were several tragic assault cases taking place, including sexual assault. There's this one documentary on survivors of assault in World War II titled Paragraph 175. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend it completely to anyone who works with mental health clinicians who work with sexual assault victims. One man gives a vivid example of the sexual assault that happened to him during World War II, and it was horrifying. He didn't come out until decades later, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual assault has also impacted Vietnam, Korean, Desert Storm, OEF, OIF, OND war veterans, and it still continues today.
So this is not something that when they were going to allow women into the military and serving in at the front lines and in combat, that was likely one of, well, I know it was one of the arguments.
Yes.
But this has always been going on.
It has always been going on. And something that is important to mention now is that there were women who worked in World War II. There were women who worked in all the other
wars. My grandmother was a nurse.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. And according to one study done with a DOD survey in 2008, sexual assault, it was a survey done, so it really only is people who admitted and came out to it. But sexual assault has impacted around 7% women and 2% of men annually. But then, that, again, that's just one survey. Mm-hmm. And there's probably been several other surveys done since then.
So when you were really freshly involved with this attack, this situation, you dealt with confusion, I'm guessing, on whether or not to tell mm-hmm. and to come forward. Was stigma part of your decision making?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
When it comes to stigma, you really got to worry about how other people view you in the military because of all the different risks. I didn't speak out then because I was worried about being reduced in rank or being criticized by other people, other male veterans. But the male veterans overpopulate female veterans still today. And the military is based on a hierarchical structure, and this can make the sufferer feel at risk for several additional issues, a lowering in rank status, lack of privacy, intimidation, etc. And again, I've talked about gender, me being a female, but there's so many other diversity factors that come into play. Gender, sexual orientation, like they talked about earlier, mm-hmm. age, spiritual beliefs or practices, race, ethnicity, they can all contribute to the way someone and others around that individual react to a situation like military sexual trauma or sexual assault.
Did you fear not being believed?
Did I fear not being believed? Mm-hmm. Probably, yes.
Okay. It just seems like something that, especially if you're worried about the stigma and things like that,
yeah.
if they would go, well, she's making it up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not something that a ton of people are reporting, even though it's more prevalent than we'd like to know.
And I also want to mention this. When it comes to camaraderie, like, really, honestly, that was one of my fears, because suicide in the military is so ridiculously high. I ruined somebody's career, life, because he attempted something. I was worried right. that it might affect him emotionally.
Long term.
Yeah, long term. Thank you.
So you dealt with stress and crisis on your own in whether or not to even report this, in mm-hmm. the fact that you went through this. For victims of this type of attack, what are some of the impacts right then, which you've described, and then also long term?
Okay. Military sexual trauma can have an impact on one's moral conscience, which can lead to significant emotional shame. So symptoms like isolation, avoidance, disassociation, persistent negative emotions like anger, fear, shame, hypervigilance, sleep disturbances, in other words, potential traumatic stress, can eventually lead to PTSD. Mm-hmm. PTSD is a common mental health condition that follows military sexual trauma, but there are also a variety of other issues of mental health like anxiety disorders, depression, substance use disorders, disassociative disorders, eating disorders, and bipolar disorders. So there's always going to be something military sexual trauma can lead to.
And okay, so much of what you described is exactly what we've learned is PTSD symptoms
yes.
and signs. And then these would also be signs and symptoms of someone who's suffered sexual assault in mm-hmm. general, anywhere.
Right.
And then you combo both of those with the other stressors of military life.
Mm-hmm.
In the last couple of years, there have been more stories about sexual assault in the military, which it's not good that they exist, but it's good that we're talking about this.
Right. You've seen The Invisible War, that movie, which is extremely important for people to see because
it needs to be recognized.
It needs to be recognized, and the changes in policy still need to be made today.
So what have we done in the past couple of years, the military and society, to improve that situation?
Well, finally, the VA is now providing outreach and therapy for those who have experienced military sexual trauma. There are now group and individual therapists available today at several VAs that were not available when I got out of the service in 2003. So advocacy for change is happening, and it's brought great transformation to the VA care for those with military sexual trauma. But it's also important to mention that, again, that the male population supersedes the female population in the military, and those who are currently receiving military sexual trauma treatment are more females than males. So there still needs to be work done to make people feel comfortable to go in for treatment.
Because they're not coming forward with it. And so they're then either pushing it down away, which is never healthy. We've learned this. But then also probably fearing the stigma.
Right, exactly.
And everything else. Samantha, I cannot thank you enough. I know that this was really difficult for you.
I appreciate you guys inviting me to do it, though.
It is powerful that you shared because one person, if we have one person who hears this and it changes their how they are able to deal with it or how they accept themselves or how they understand another person who's gone through this, then it was absolutely worth it. And I know that it was very brave.
And I want to say thank you for letting me talk about it, because a lot of times it is pressured for you not to talk about it because of then you're playing the victim or then. Yeah. So I do appreciate you guys having me come in today.
Absolutely. Speaking as the interviewer, this was not easy for you. And so I have to really, really thank all of my guests, but, specifically you for putting forth, pushing aside fear and all of the things we've just talked about, to get that story out there and help others going forward. This has been powerful. So thank you so much. This is going to conclude our show. Please join us next week for our episode, Raising a Child with Mental Illness. Again, I'm Hannah Stanley, and this is on Social Health and Change, presented by Adler University. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on wherever you download, wherever finer podcasts are downloaded. Hit subscribe so these will auto-populate and you won't miss a minute. Thanks so much for listening.